welcome to Championships Bite-Size. It's another podcast from the guys at loverugbyleague.com, namely myself, Dave Parkinson, and my co-host, Adrian Jackson. And as always, it's great to have you with me.
I say one thing, Dave, I like talking rugby league, and I just love talking about the championships.
And we are the only podcast that I'm aware of that exclusively talks about the championships and talks to the movers and shakers in those divisions. So what have we got coming up? Well, it was a busy Easter programme. We'll look back on the results from the Cooperative Championship, Cooperative Championship 1. And I was at a rather interesting game on Saturday over at the Big Fella Stadium. That was between Fenston Rovers and Sheffield Eagles, one of those once-in-a-lifetime sort of games. I'll reveal more a little bit later on. We've also got interviews with coaching staff. We've got Daryl Powell speaking on behalf of the Featherstone Rovers and Mark Aston speaking on behalf of Sheffield Eagles, two former teammates.
Great Easter programme, wasn't it? And there was a bit of history made on Easter Monday because the Championship's only had one game in Championship and Championship 1, that is, by the way. But there was history being made, and that was a Welsh derby.
Shall we start with that one then? Shall we sort of reverse it a little bit? I mean, it's the last time that there was a Welsh derby was back 100 years ago. Can you believe that?
You've been doing your stats again.
I've been trying to, yeah, but ask me who it's with and I'll have to get back to you on that one and take your rain check. It could have been between Merthyr Tydfil, though. They did have a rugby league side.
You should pick that name out of a hat, haven't you?
I did, yeah. It could be Ebervale as well. Prestatyn Crusaders.
Let's just talk about 2012, shall we? It was North Wales Crusaders versus the South Wales Scorpions at the Racecourse Ground. Is it still called that these days at Wrexham? Anyway, that's where the venue was. It was a cracking game of rugby league as well, to be honest. Unfortunately, for the Scorpions, they were outmuscled by a rampant Crusaders team.
And since then, the Scorpions have announced the departure of two players. Jamie Rooney has called time on his stint with South Wales Scorpions, as has Joe McKenna. Now, Joe McKenna, a Cumbrian, you'd fancy he'll be picked up by one of the Cumbrian clubs. Jamie Rooney's future is a little bit more clouded. I mean, he was a huge signing for them, wasn't he?
Bit of an enigma, isn't he, really, in the last few years, as Jamie Rooney has become. Still got the talent to play at a higher level. One or two fans and a lot of people within the world of rugby really did raise one or two eyebrows and doubts about why he's going down there.
Now they'll be raising the same questions about why he's not there anymore, but that's for another time. That one actually finished North Wales Crusaders 34, South Wales Scorpions 22. Let's stick with Cooperative Championship 1 for now. Other results from Good Friday: Barrow Raiders 40, Gateshead 12, Doncaster 58, London Scholars 16, Rochdale Hornets 18, Oldham 10, and Whitehaven 12, Workington Town 30. Now, a couple of real big local derbies in that lot.
There was the Cumbrian derby with Whitehaven and Workington. That was a tasty affair as well, and so is the Greater Manchester one. Let's stick with that one because John Stankovic, the Rochdale Hornets coach, really stirred up the Hornets nest with one or two comments he made about the Oldham team before the game even kicked off.
Yeah, I mean, this was an Oldham team that was previously unbeaten. And what did he say? They hadn't actually beaten anybody yet. You can't stir the Hornets' nest, as you've mentioned, much more than saying something like that, can you?
Yeah, you also mentioned he didn't have any decent players as well. So they really upset Oldham going into that game. And he was hoping that he wouldn't come back and bit him on the backside. And luckily for him, it never.
Now, Gary Middlehurst, he could be out for an extended period of time. He's up before the disciplinary beak over the next few days, and rumour has it he could earn a match ban of between 4 and 8 games. This was for a kicking incident, which came in a game which you watched, I believe, earlier on this season between Rochdale and North Wales. But they'll certainly miss him because he was instrumental in that 18-10 victory. But the impressive thing for Rochdale, they scored 4 tries in that one.
They did, showing that they can score plenty of tries and they can't stick in there defensively because they were 8-10 down. Rochdale hit back, got a couple of tries of their own in the second half to win the game. And despite Oldham throwing everything at them in defence, Rochdale hung in there.
Onyango and Thompson scoring for Oldham. Interesting thing about Onyango is his 100th appearance for Oldham. And can you believe it's been that long since he's left Widnes?
It's been a long time, hasn't it? It's been really unlucky, he's Lucas Onyango, with his injuries, and it's good to see that he's still involved in the game.
It doesn't feel that long since he was last playing for Widnes, though. Rochdale, they saw tries from Wayne English, Davis, Chris Baines and Steve McDermott. Now, Steve McDermott in particular has really stepped up from the amateur game superbly well, hasn't he? He toured with the Community Lions and he's certainly been knocking around Widnes amateur games for several seasons, and he's really making a fist of this professional malarkey, isn't it? Chris Huff also kicked a goal. Dally Moore kicking one goal for Oldham, but it's Rochdale Harleys, like we mentioned, who won by 18 points to 10. Moving on to the other big derby which took place, the Cumbrian Derby. You mentioned it was a feisty affair. Certainly it was at half time. Workington Town 16 points to 2 up, but only scoring 2 tries in that first half. The rest of the points coming from the boot of Farber, who in the end kicked 6 goals from 7 attempts, so it suggests there was a few penalties involved.
Suggests that Whitehaven's indiscipline cost him dearly, and they had an uphill struggle to get back in that game in the second half, and unfortunately for them, it just never happened for them.
Tries from Mossop, Miller, Stack and Phillips for Workington, Farber kicking 6 goals as I mentioned, Calvert scoring a try for Whitehaven, Wilson following that one up 9 minutes from time, Rudd kicked a couple of goals for the Whitehaven team. But I've just got to compliment Jared Stack. He's a player who's been knocking around the lowest division in professional rugby league for the last couple of seasons. He could undoubtedly step up to Super League in my eyes.
There's a few players within the Championship, one who could probably step up another level into the Championship as well, and Jared Stack is one. He's certainly one of them players.
But I've actually said he could step up 2 levels. Do you reckon I'm putting too much pressure on him, man?
I think a little bit, and I think even he did admit that. Maybe, given the opportunity, that might happen, but we'll have to watch this space.
Now, just a quick word about Doncaster's results of late. They've been really good. I mean, they're scoring points for fun. They're the top point scorers in the Cooperative Championship, 160 points scored in just 4 games. And Lee Waterman, he's having an outstanding season. He scored 3 tries last week. He put his wing partner, Hodgson, in for 5 tries. Now, 5 tries in a game is something that anybody can be well impressed with.
Tremendous, that's the numbers that Martin O'Fay used to run in during his play there, didn't he? So well done to Hodgson to get on the end of those moves to touch down 5 times.
What it actually means is that Hodgson, thanks to playing outside of Waterman, he has run in 8 tries in just 2 games because he scored a hat-trick in his last outing. So there is a man who's banking form. Super League or even Championship teams who could be on the lookout for a winger could do no worse than run the rule over him, could they?
Had a big win against the London Scholars, but they've certainly improved in defence in recent matches, and Joe Mabur would be a little bit disappointed about the outcome of that one.
And also as well with London Scholars, they've just signed Mike Warinty as well. He made his debut, former Super League player, of course, has been at Leigh Centurions, was released to go back to the capital. He was struggling to find work up in the north of England, but that's not quite the start that he would have been looking for either. The other game, well, we mentioned about amateur players who have stepped up, and certainly Toll over at Barrow Raiders, he's really making a mark in professional rugby, another hat-trick from him.
2 hat-tricks scored by the Barrow Raiders, Campbell getting in on the act as well, so it's a case of whatever you can do like that, I can do just as well as you, and Barrow really running right against a Gateshead Fund team who, like the Scholars, have been improving as the matches have gone on.
So what does all that mean to the table? Well, Cooperative Championship 1 sees Workington Town out on top. 3 wins from their 4 games, and in fact, there is hardly anything to choose between 1st and 6th place. It is that close in that division.
Yeah, the top 6 are Workington, Barrow, Oldham, Doncaster, Rochdale and Whitehaven.
Bottom of the pile, Gateshead Thunder, but they are being very competitive this season, and I'm sure that we're in for a rip-roaring round of fixtures when the Cooperative Championship 1 returns in a couple of weeks' time.
I think what the key element is for the season in Championship 1 is that all the clubs know that 4 teams are going to get promoted into the Championship.
And that is going to be a huge task. Whoever gets up will deserve it, because that, to me, is looking like the most competitive of leagues that you'll find anywhere in the world of rugby league. On to the Cooperative Championship, and let's run through the results first of all. Starting with the Good Friday fixtures, Batley Bulldogs 18, Dewsbury Rams 16, Halifax 13, Keithley Cougars 12, Leigh Centurions 38, Swinton Lions 4. Action then moved over to the Big Fella Stadium on the Saturday, where Featherstone Rovers 40, Sheffield Eagles 60, and Sunday, reading it all off for us on Easter Day, Hunslet Hawks 20, York City Knights 6. Now we had a version of El Clasico over at the Leigh Sports Village, Leigh Centurions taking on Swinton Lions. Some people were talking about this in the same manner as AC Milan against Inter Milan, who both share the same stadium. Now, both of these sides do share the same stadium. And despite Swinton Lions pouring in a really big effort for 50 minutes, Leigh Centurions overturned them and in the end running 7 tries.
I think Swinton will be disappointed really with a heavy scoreline put past them by Leigh Centurions, but Leigh, to be honest, I've got a decent team put together for 2012, and certainly the Steve McCormack's men, it's a vicious learning curve to get over.
Dale Cunniff was the only try scorer for Swinton Lions, although they did have three tries disallowed, actually, did the Lions, so perhaps it's not quite as bad as that scoreline would first appear. The Centurions, though, registered tries themselves through James Taylor, he got two, Craig Briscoe, Steve Maiden also got two, Matt Gardner continued his scoring run, that's five tries in nine games now, and Ryan Brierley scored as well, with Ridyard kicking five goals from seven. Over at Hunslet, it was a battle of the basement clubs, really, wasn't it? And Dennis Tuffour coming up with the score in place to really edge that one in Hunslet's favour.
They'd have been made on to get that result. Like you said, it was the battle of the basement clubs there before this game had even kicked off. And Hunslet, they'd have been fancying the chances at home. York City United would have been looking to get that elusive win, wouldn't they? Because they've not got one yet so far. Unfortunately for them, damage you've done at half-time, 10-0 down, it's always going to be an uphill struggle.
Especially when you take into account the conditions that were there on Sunday again. Incessant rain, always difficult for teams to make any sort of impact and put the points together and put the passages of play together that you need in those type of conditions. But we've got to credit both teams, Brickwood and Halliwell, scoring tries for Hunslet. Halliwell kicking two goals from four attempts, and a non-related Halliwell scoring another try for York City Knights to get them on the board, but it was too much to make up in the end. Another of the big derbies that took place in Cooperative Championship was the heavy woolen derby, this between Batley Bulldogs and Dewsbury Rams, and it lived up to the billing.
It's a heavy clash between two teams, wasn't it, at the Batley Bulldogs Stadium. And to be honest with you, it was Batley that just about managed the conditions better than Dewsbury.
Batley led 10 points to nil at half time, had to put up with a real big fight back in the second half. I noticed that Gareth Moore got in for another two tries for him. He also kicked three goals now. My maths isn't great, but I made that a 14-point contribution. Jason Walton also going over for the Batley Bulldogs to complete their scoring run. For the Rams, they saw tries from Craven, George Flanagan, who was actually at Batley last year, and Southernwood, with Walker kicking two from three. He had got a 100% record, Adrian. They would have drawn that.
At least they got a bonus point, didn't they? But they'd have been looking to get the all 3 points because they were above Batley going into that game. So they'd have been fancying the chances to stay in front of their near rivals.
Now, the game that we've been avoiding, other than just mentioning the scoreline, was this fantastic clash. You can't really describe it as anything else. It was a try spectacular between Featherstone Rovers and Sheffield Eagles. Featherstone Rovers scored seven tries. Sheffield Eagles scored 11. The Eagles led by 26 points to 16 at half-time against Featherstone and completed a rampage with an eventual 60 points to 40 win. Have you ever seen a scoreline like that, Mr. Jackson?
To be honest with you, no, I haven't. Tremendous game of rugby league, it's got to be said. Great attack in rugby league. Sounds like defence is just never even turned up. They just seem to just want to attack and score plenty of tries. Despite Sheffield Eagles raising into such a commanding lead, fair play to Featherstone Rovers because they very nearly turned it round.
They did. I mean, Sheffield, they racked up the points. They led 44 points to 16. And then we saw champagne rugby from Featherstone Rovers as they put back-to-back-to-back-to-back tries to unbelievably close that gap down to 4 points. So for a long period of that second half, it was Featherstone 40, Sheffield 44. And I tell you what, everybody's nerves were jangling over there at the Big Fella Stadium. In the end, though, Sheffield managed to turn it round. They tipped it back in their favour. And it was two of their South Sea Island stars who made the difference. Missy Talapapa, he's been in great form. He came up with a hat-trick. And Quinton Lelutong, the guy, at the back end of the game, he was like something else. He was skirting around the outside of defence, leaving defenders basically clutching at her. And two brilliant attacking weapons to have in your armoury.
Two great players, aren't they? And I'm surprised they're not playing at a higher level of Super League, but two great players having the squad for Sheffield Eagles, and they were the difference, like you said, of getting a victory. Great entertaining rugby league for a neutral, but for coaches and fans of both of them teams, it must have been a nightmare.
You've queued that up really well there, Adrian, because first of all, we're going to hear from winning coach Mark Aston.
We're obviously elated because obviously last week we led in a number of points and got us his backside kick, so to come to a place like Featherstone and put 60 points up them is what we do now. We can play with the ball at ends. Again, coach's nightmare, as you talked about, led in 40 points is something that concerns me. And at one stage in there, you know, I thought we could give it away again after, you know, winning the game, if you like, at the start of the second half. Going away from it, I believe that we were capable of blowing ourselves out. So just relieved that they held the nerve, because You know, again, we're still not playing for that 80 minutes, are we, you know? You score 60 points against a top team like Featherstone are, on the, you know, in their own back garden, then it's a massive positive. And, you know, we held his nerve, and that was the most important thing. When it came back, did it come back to 44? We held his nerve there, and maybe in the last month or so, you know, in the last few weeks or so, we could have blown that. We didn't, and that's a positive going in. But we've got a lot of work to do, and we know that, you know. We've got a lot of work to do defensively, because we're leaking in too many points, and if we're going to be serious contenders at the end of the year, we need to be mentally better defensively. Listen, we want to play football. That's the most, you know, what we coach and what we believe in is about asking questions and making the defence answer the questions, and we do that. But there's two sides to the game, isn't there? And we've got to be a little bit tougher mentally, physically, to not just cave in like we did for patches in that game. And you know, we were disappointed in that period, but you know, we got the result, and that's the most important thing today. I thought Don Brambino were very good. I thought Nevin Morrison were outstanding, particularly in the first half. A lot of people won't have gone notice where he jammed up and stopped the ball and all, and that were important to us at that time. So I thought he were good. I thought Missy looked strong. I thought Nozzer had probably his best game for us as well when he were out there, you know, and Liam Miggins were probably one of his better games. So there were plenty of positives. Nice to have Dan McDonald back as well, I suppose. Featherstone are a great club, there's no doubt about that. We walked through the doors on the bus today, and the signs up there, Destination Super League, out there, inspires you a little bit, doesn't it? And the boys, as you could hear in the changing rooms at the end there, that gives us a bit of an up, because when then we can challenge ourselves. So no, there were no special plans. We, you know, we just came here to put the wrongs right from what we did last week. And did we do that? In patches, yes. In other patches, no. Again, you know, it's great that Dan McDonald's back on the field for us, because he can fill that void left by Simon. So it treats his back. But, you know, when you've got two goal kickers like Simon Brown and Don Brambini, one goes off, there's somebody adequate just to step in there.
Mark Aston there, sounding ecstatic, but kind of wondering just what happened with the defensive qualities of his team.
I think everybody is wondering what happens in the defence, not just to his team, but to Featherstone's as well, because I don't remember, besides in the Challenge Cup, I don't remember Featherstone ever conceding a score like that in the Championship in the last few seasons, at least. But yeah, they've been happy to have got the job done, because at 44-16, the job should have been done anyway.
Let us now hear from losing boss Darrell Powell of Featherstone Rovers.
Well, we just gave so much away, didn't we? Just a ridiculous game of rugby league, to be honest. I don't think I've ever seen a team give as many intercepts or, you know, easy tries, just complete giveaways. So when you do that, you give yourself a bit of a mountain to climb. And you know, we had a period there in second half where I thought we were fantastic, but you're chasing the game, and you know, it's difficult to maintain that sort of strike rate, and then we give another couple of tries away. So it's just, you know, it didn't seem to matter to us today enough, I don't think. And you know, obviously it's you know, hugely disappointing performance, and we've got to improve. There's no, you know, we've got a tough game next week against a really good Castleford side, I think, from what I've seen the last couple of games. So you know, we can't be turning in performances like that. You know, that's stating the obvious. You know, I just said to Ryan, we need to just make sure we keep the bonus point now, and then we conceded a try within about 10 seconds of me saying that, and then we tried getting the bonus point back and give another try away. So it's just one of those ridiculous games that, you know, probably come along once every 10-15 years, and massively disappointed. You know, it's ridiculous way of playing the game, and we just made it so hard for ourselves. It's calamity, wasn't it? It was just calamity from start to finish, to be honest. Just I've never seen anything like that in terms of giving things away. But you know, you don't become a bad team. We showed so many positive things when we started to play, but obviously got to stop giving things away. And you know, we conceded some soft tries as well. But when we just rattled ourselves. Just got rattled, and as a result of that, we just couldn't get ourselves back in the game. And when we did, we got ourselves to within 4 points. You know, there's a ball steal there that was a fair game turner when we were on the front foot. So yeah, we obviously disappointed a fair bit. I mean, it's going to be an unbelievable video review, to be fair.
Darrell Powell, explaining that result as just one of those freak things that happens every 10 or 15 years.
That long, I think it'd be even longer, won't it?
Fantastic entertainment, you can't decry it. Worthington, Dale, Rapati, Saxton, Kane with two, and Michael Haley with the tries for Featherstone Rovers, Finn kicking six goals from seven. Sheffield Eagles, well, we'll run through their total list of scorers, so give me another couple of minutes here. Missy Talapapa, as I mentioned, with his hat-trick. Turner with one, Morrison with one, Yeary with one, Sashtak, the Luton, the guy grabbed two, Hurst with one, and McDonald putting the icing on the cake with a late interception where he ran 70 metres down the ground. Goal split between Brambani, he kicked five from seven, and Simon Brown, who kicked three from five in the first half. What does all that mean to the table? Well, it means there's just one team out on top, 100% record out. That's Halifax. Surprise or not?
No talks. I think Haas has put a decent squad together, hasn't he? And they'll be looking to maintain that record when they come back into action after the Challenge Cup weekend.
The rest of the top six, Sheffield in second, Featherstone in third, Keefe in fourth, Dewsbury fifth, Batley sixth, and Lee Centurions just waiting for a slip up from one of those clubs in the bottom half of the playoff positions. So onward and upward to the Challenge Cup, and we'll be back next week with a roundup of all what happened